Okay, welcome to Creative Disturbance. This is the Femdineers podcast. My name is Matthew Brown, director of the Center for Values in Medicine, Science, and Technology. And I'm talking with Fatima Hassanapour from the engineering school. Welcome, Fatima.
Thank you so much.
Could you, let's start by having you tell us about the work that you're doing right now. What kind of projects are you working on?
Yes, I'm an assistant professor at Mechanical Engineering Department at University of Texas at Dallas, and my major is Mechanical Engineering. So there are many different areas in terms of Mechanical Engineering. What I work on is the thermofluid systems, so any system that has heat transfer and fluid inside, so we will work on those typical work.
Could you tell us about what your most interesting project is that you're working on right now?
Yes, I used to work in the area of electronic cooling. So during my PhD work, the project that I was doing was trying to cool down the electronic systems like computers. So actually like 6-7 years ago, that was a very hot topic. And when I joined UT Dallas, I was working as a faculty, so I was thinking to bring something new in this area, something that is novel, because I thought that that research area is like saturated, and whatever I was doing, I was like competing with many other people. So I was thinking that, okay, I should find a way to establish my own research work. And as a female mechanical engineer, I was always thinking that there are so many unsolved problems that we women can look at it from a different point of view. So I was lucky enough that through, trained as a mechanical engineer, I was always interested about women health and infants. So at that time, I gave birth to my daughter, and through the breastfeeding, I was thinking that this is something that is purely a mechanical engineering system, it's purely a fluid dynamic system, and nobody has looked at it yet. So I thought that this is a novel idea, this is a new idea. Let's see how we can solve a lot of issues and problems in terms of lactating breast, and how we mechanical engineers, we can save these problems. So I started working on this project just on the side. I was mainly studying at home. I was working with my female students. We were just brainstorming. And after like 2-3 years, we noticed that we have collected lots of preliminary results in this area. And so I thought, no, this is what I want to do as a mechanical engineer. So the only topic that I'm currently working on with like 6 students currently in my lab is looking at the lactating breast, human lactating breast, from a fluid dynamic point of view.
That's very interesting. Thank you. Could you sort of move a little bit backwards in time and tell us how it is you became an engineer? So what led you down this career path?
I was lucky enough that I was born and raised in a family that almost everybody was good at math. I have 6 siblings. I was the youngest one. All brother and sisters, they were good at math. They were either their major was either like physics or mechanical engineering, or they were electrical engineers. So I was always exposed to like science, technology, math topics. And when I was a child, I remember that I was always curious about building the things. So instead of playing with like dolls and Barbies, I always wanted to play with Lego, with cars. I like to disassemble and reassemble the things. So I always wanted to destroy something and then fix it myself. So even right now, I think this is my profession is a continuation of my curiosity from my childhood. So that's the story. I mean, I always wanted to be an engineer.
Could you tell us what it's been like being a woman in engineering?
My experience was overwhelming. I mean, I've had great experience. Before joining UT Dallas, I was working in industry, in oil refinery companies, in HVAC companies, both in industrial working environment and academia, I had very positive experience. I was always thinking that I'm bringing a new, or I'm solving the problems or thinking about the problems from a different point of view. So I've been very happy with choosing my major.
Have you experienced any difficult situations because of your gender?
Of course, it happens. It happens. We have to work harder to prove ourselves. I mean, I remember when I was working in refinery fields, it was so hard to convince my male colleague that, no, I can do it. I can go up the ladders. I can check the boilers. I understand these things, but my male colleague, they were like, oh, be careful. No, you don't need to do that. Oh, we should take care of you. So it's a little bit difficult for us to prove that, no, we can't do it. But when you treat professionally and you prove that, then I think you're even in a better position as a female engineer.
You said before, and I think your current research shows this, that you bring a different perspective as a woman to your work than perhaps some of your male colleagues bring. Could you say a little bit more about what you think the advantages of a woman's perspective offer the engineering field?
As I mentioned earlier, there are many problems, there are many issues in our daily lives, which are purely related to females. And I mean, technology, engineering, devices, these are all in our daily lives. And every day we are involved with this science and technology thing. So we women, we have a large room for improving the science and technology devices, the things that are helpful to women, to society in general. I believe that we need more female engineers so we can support the other new generations, and we can help them, we can act like a role model for them to bring more females to a STEM field, to engineering field. So I think we can benefit both society in terms of solving big problems, and also inspiring the other girls to come to engineering area.
I want to switch gears a little bit now and talk about what it's like working on a team. So as many of our listeners may or may not know, often engineering work is done not just by a solitary individual, but as a team, whether that's working with colleagues or working with your students. I wonder if you could tell us, what do you think is important about how one works in a team?
Working with a group of people on a worthwhile activity with a common goal can be one of the most rewarding and enjoyable aspect of my work. The dynamics of the team is a significant part of the success. I personally enjoy working with young, fresh brain. I never underestimate my students. they bring, the best of ideas that I had in my research lab are coming from my students. Some of them are actually coming from my high school students and undergraduate students, because during the summers I work with high school students. Any problem that we're working on, the reality is that we cannot do it by ourselves. We have to work as a team. For example, doing research on the lactating breast, I have to work with clinicians. I have to work with the medical doctors. And this is the beauty of our work, that many people from different point of view, from different areas, we sit together, we do brainstorming, and each one of us bring a solution to one part of the problem.
Based on your experience, both in industry and academia, what advice would you provide to your students about teamwork?
First of all, a team member should be knowledgeable about that work. So if you want to work in a team, you should really know about the goals and the task of that team. So you should be knowledgeable. You should show commitment, which is very important. And also you should have passion for that work. You should respect your team members. It happens many times that you disagree with your team members. We want to work in a professional environment, but at the same time, we should respect each other, and we should accept the criticism. Yeah, we should accept the criticism from our team members. And
on the topic of advice, what advice would you or do you provide to your engineering students about ethics, about how to think about their ethical or social responsibilities as an engineer?
In my opinion, engineers cannot rely on their instinct only. They need training that can help them to balance their technical ability and the benefits that they have on the society. So to my opinion, engineers cannot rely on the instinct only. They need training that can help them to balance their technical point of view, the technical aspect, and also the benefits that they have on the society in terms of health, safety. But one of the most powerful gifts of engineering is how it improves lives, but in the wrong hands, it can be opposite. So there is no room for carelessness in professional engineering work. So my advice is that don't wait to go to the company and to their work environment to learn about ethics. You should learn it through your education in the school. I've always talked to my colleague, and I have encouraged them to help adding like ethical engineering courses to our curriculum. This is something that we are missing in many of the institution. So my advice to them is that just go take these classes and make yourself knowledgeable about the ethics of engineering.
Do ethical topics ever come up between you and your students in your lab? Do you ever talk about ethical quandaries that come up?
Of course. It happens almost every day.
I want to end by talking about young girls interested in engineering and other STEM fields. In some areas of science, of course, the gender gap has really closed to a large extent. In others, and I think engineering and computer science fields is one of these, there is still something of a gap. So although many young girls are interested in STEM topics, when we get out to the career area, there's still something of a gender gap. So I wonder if you have any sort of career advice for young girls who are interested in engineering, but maybe at one point or another hesitate about whether to get into it?
Yeah, it's a good question. I do my best to talk to them, to tell them about my experience being a female engineer, but to my experience, just talking may not work. I think this is our responsibility as academic people. This is our responsibility to expose them to engineering environment. This is actually a very good question. It happens almost every day that I talk to the female students here, because mechanical engineering doesn't have too many female students. So they come to me, they ask me that, you know, we have chosen mechanical engineering, but we feel isolated and we don't have mentors, or we feel that boys are way better than us in solving engineering problems, so we want to change our major. What do you think? So I usually sit with them. I talk to them for like 30 minutes, 1 hour. But to my experience, just talking has not worked. Most of them, they do. They change their major. They leave. But the students that I have involved them in my research lab, and I've shown them that, see, this is what I'm doing. This is the problem that I'm solving. You can do it. See, this is regarding, for example, the breast project. I tell them that if we don't do that, who is going to do that? If we female engineers, because we know the difficulties of like breastfeeding. So see, there are so many problems that you as a female engineer can look at it and you can solve that problem. So we have to encourage them. We have to ignite that passion in students' mind. So I voluntarily work with high school students, in local high school students, and I go, I give them a seminar, I give them presentation, I show them that this is what female engineers are doing in the world. And so you can be one of them. So this has helped. And actually, all the female students that I made them involved to do something in my lab, they stayed in my lab. They graduated with master degree, with PhD degree. One of them is joining academia very soon. So that was actually one of the students who wanted to change her major from mechanical engineering. She wanted to be a medical doctor. Now she's at Stanford. So I think we need to expose them to real engineering life.
Thank you. That's fantastic. Thank you so much for talking with us today, Fatima.
Thank you. Thank you. My pleasure.
To learn more about Professor Hassanipour's work and to hear future editions of the FemEngineers podcast, please visit us at the Creative Disturbance website, creativedisturbance.org. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.